afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Monday to you. So delightful. Rach and I took a walk a couple hours ago, and it was tolerable.
It was nice.
And just pushing nice. Yeah.
In the shade of the building, it was quite nice.
Yes.
Outside of the shade.
Sounded like the beginning of a poem.
In the shade of the building.
It was quite nice.
It was quite nice.
How hot is it?
Let's guess.
I just looked, so I won't guess.
84.
80.
I asked, so I don't know.
It's 85. 86.
All right.
I shouldn't have guessed. I haven't been outside.
I just know that when I came in today, I didn't end up instant sweating coming from this car to the door.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't turn on my AC in the car.
Wow.
I had the window open, and that was enough.
Man.
But it was also like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't
too bad. That's pretty.
I'm proud of myself. I have moderated my fear of my air conditioner going out. You know, I've always got a fear.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And this morning, Julie Lally made me feel like a tiny baby man because she was like, we're getting you up in the, because, you know, Julie Lally, she's a promoter and she's always promoting me and always, you know, like, I've got an idea for the show. And she's like, we're getting you up in the arch. I'm like, not a chance. Like, it's never going to happen. Like, maybe if I'm on hospice, you could put me in there and take me. And she goes, okay, well, we'll do the wheel. I'm like, again, not happening. And I just like, look, I got phobias. Just the way it is. Things that are fun for some people are not fun for me, and I'm probably vice versa.
The wheel does have AC, though, which makes a difference.
You could put AC in a coffin and bury me 6 feet deep, too, but
still a coffin.
It's a coffin that goes 300 feet in the air.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, every time, like when I'm downtown at a ball game, I think it's Spruce that you can see straight down to the wheel, and I'm like, man, it's still standing. It didn't fall today. No, it's not fun.
It's not fast enough.
No. Fast enough.
It's not fast enough.
I want to go fast.
It goes decently fast, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
So Wheeler's on there, bored to death. Rach is having the time of her life, and I'm crying like a baby.
And Dave's like, let me out. I'd be like,
I mean, there's lots of things I'm not afraid of. Isn't that a weird thing?
Yeah.
It's such a strange thing. Because you know that there have to be some of it, you know, the whole nature nurture. Some of it has to be brain chemistry.
Yeah.
And then a lot of it, like, for example, I was telling someone this weekend because I saw something on television and it was about butterflies, how we're supposed to be attracting the monarchs XYZ. And I just started laughing. And the person I was with was like, what are you laughing at? And I probably told this story to Rach and Andrew, but when I was little, like young enough that you can still be convinced of these things, my brother Keith told me that not only do butterflies, see, in a lie, the details are everything. He said, butterflies bite. And I'm like, no, they don't. He goes, they bite and they have fangs just like a spider. Mm. And I would show you. But if I grab one, it'll sink its fangs into me. And so I was terrified of butterflies. And I'm sub-kindergarten, and I still have this memory. I'm in the yellow Oldsmobile Cutlass with my dad and bench seats, and he's yelling for me to get out, but there's a butter yellow butterfly flying next to the car, and I start crying, and I just hear him yell to my mom, he's afraid of the effing butterflies, and I'm just like, you would be too if you weren't so stupid. They have fangs like a spider. And at that moment, I remember going, wait a second.
Do they really?
Did he just tell me this giant lie?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
But I'm not afraid of those guys anymore.
You shouldn't be.
No, I'm fine.
You know they're fangless.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't want to go in the arch. I don't want to go in the wheel, but I can be around butterflies. Go to the butterfly house.
All right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Butterfly house is pretty great.
It is pretty cool.
If no one's been to that, it's awesome.
It is pretty cool.
I'm always afraid I'm going to, like, you know, step on one or, like, sit on one or something. You know, just some hilarious buffoonery.
Can I tell a good story about my brother now?
Mm-hmm.
There's a place in Roxana where South Roxana turns into Roxana, and there's a little split off to go to Wood River, and there's a building there that's been a million things, and when I was little bitty, it was called Bianca's Pizza, and there's a picture out there somewhere, probably have it at my house, where when I was three, my brother's band got booked to play at Bianca's Pizza. And so I got up and played tambourine. And wait till you hear my outfit. I was wearing a black and red cowboy shirt with pearl buttons, blue shorts with a yellow duck, and black cowboy boots.
All right.
Right.
Rocking it.
Right. Same thing I wear now in the band.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Only on Saturdays, though, right?
But yeah, that was my first time on stage. And I remember that, too. I have a weird memory.
I think you'd remember that one, though.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It's a good one. What are we going to do about all these hooligans getting up on police officers' backs and riding on top of cars and stuff? Did you read about all this, Wheels? It kind of ruined things in the Grove over the weekend?
Yeah. I mean,
what do you do?
The thing that we can't do right now, which police? Is more police officers.
Right? There were a ton of police down in the Grove. There were like hundreds of police officers down there, from what I understand. It's just when you have so many more people acting stupid, like, I don't know. I just kept seeing on Reddit, and, you know, it's not like everyone's telling the truth on Reddit 100% of the time, but people would describe, like, people would be saying, like, somebody's got a gun. So everyone would start running in one direction.
Mm.
And it was just chaos like that, like, basically all night long. I honestly don't know if the answer is more police, because what are they supposed to do when it's just chaos? Like, it's not like they can just start arresting people for being rude and crass or whatever else. Like, if there's a giant group of people who aren't acting properly, like, how do you actually handle that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you even handle it when somebody jumps on top of a cop car? I mean, if you use any kind of, you know, force, you run a serious risk of becoming the bad guy in the situation. You know what I mean? You can't just whoop on them because they jump on your car or whatever. But if they start, you know what I mean? Like, what even is the proper solution to something like that?
I think, though, see if you guys agree or not. I've been down here since 1990, one way or another. And it seems to me that we're at sort of like the Cardinals, you know, like we talk about the Cardinals incessantly about it's a runway year and we're trying to come back and we're going to rebuild and we're going to reset and we're going to this, we're going to that. And there are many things about the city that I feel like we're sort of in the same. You know, we have a new mayor, Kim Gardner's gone. We have some chances to do something now. We have the Rams settlement money. We're at a real fork in the road. But the crowds like this can ruin everything. And I'm sure that when they are 50, they'll look back and think how stupid their behaviors were. But we don't have that kind of time to wait. So right now, they're doing stuff. I didn't do stuff like this when I was young, but I did my version of stupid stuff. And so when you've got a bunch of young people breaking the law and acting a fool like that, they could put the death knell in the city. Because like Rach and I were talking on our walk, people from St. Charles aren't coming down for stuff like that. People from the county aren't coming down for stuff like that. And as the father of a 20-year-old girl, if she said, I want to go down to the Grove during Pride Fest, I probably would have said yes before this. Now I would say no. If there's even the chance of something like that breaking out, the answer is no.
But
my two cents.
There has to be an answer of something to do, though.
There has to be.
Because the answer can't be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The answer can't be, welp.
But the answer may be too difficult that no one's going to do it.
Well, I mean, that's if you're there with 200 or 250 police officers instead of 50, it's a difference. Because you can just start arresting more people. And then once people go, man, I got a 1 in 3 chance of going, I'm getting the hell out of here. You know, again, there's no easy answer to it. But look, one of the reasons why is it more secure around Busch Stadium? We never see that stuff around Busch Stadium on a game night. Why is that? Well, there are a lot of people, but also there's a law enforcement presence, and it's known, and that stuff has not happened around the ballpark.
True.
It always happens somewhere else. It always happens, you know, something a little further away from that area.
Do you think they would handle business if it happened at the ballpark out by
the
statues?
No idea. That's a great question. But I think the combination of tens of thousands of other people being there and security, you know, it might get worse. Who knows? I mean, you got a lot more people to deal with. But it is fascinating that it never has happened over there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I'd say that, you know, there's a pretty good secure perimeter that the Cardinals and that the that local police keep for that kind of event. You can't have that everywhere. Like, you can't have that same presence at the in the Grove every weekend or up at Keener Plaza or whatever, wherever you've had problems. But there has to be an answer, because the answer can't be what we tend to do as a city, and that is nothing. It's just that can't be the answer, because it is not going to get better. If you show someone they can get away with something, they're going to keep getting away with it.
Rach, do you know if we heard anything from Mayor Spencer about it?
I saw her post on Instagram yesterday, basically thanking the certain businesses in the Grove who were going to be closing or having like a curfew on Sunday night as a result of the shenanigans that happened on Saturday night. But that's all I had seen from the mayor. She may have said something else. If she did, I have not seen it.
It's a shame. It's just a shame. City's on a knife edge. And it's like we don't think it can go bad. It's like we don't think that it can go worse. We don't think that the city can shrink even more and that the taxes are even less and the amenities are even less and fewer people move downtown and fewer people come downtown for dinner. Like, we think it can't get worse, and it can. Kara Spencer's going to have a really interesting administration.
Absolutely. Look, none of us have the perfect answer, right? Mm-mm. But is this happening in other places? Is this happening in Kansas City on a weekly basis? Is it happening in Indianapolis? Is it happening in Detroit? Is it happening? Things are happening in Chicago, right? They tend to not be in the commercial areas, but they still happen up there. It's a big city. There's always something. But, like, I'd love to know what with these particular types of things, how much that's happening in other places that are similar, cities that are similar. It's probably Chicago's probably not a great comparison. It's a lot bigger. New York too big, but other similar markets, like, is that same stuff happening? Are just wild ass weekends all the time?
And if not, how did you stop it?
How do they handle it? Why is it not happening there? Yeah.
That's a long intro.
I know.
I don't think I've ever heard that whole intro.
Shouldn't be that long, right?
It's okay. I called for it. Robert says, I sure miss Grandma Glover. And I'm like, me too, Bob. I miss my... Oh, then I'm like, oh, that's the puppet. Yes.
Yes. Oh, that's what he meant. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I
for
was
second,
wondering why you said that.
Yeah, for a second I was like, oh, that seems wildly inappropriate. But it's,
no,
it was a
I'm
puppet.
Pretty sure he's talking about the puppet.
It's a puppet.
But it wouldn't be inappropriate to say he misses Grandma Glover. We all miss Grandma Glover.
That's true. We do.
The world is different.
It's a less funny place.
Yes, yeah. It is. That's true. That's true. It's a less interesting place, right? Mm. No doubt about it. Check me on something. I almost said something non-ironically, and then I thought better of it in my head. I have a story here about what kind of summer it's going to be, and I was going to say as a setup, hey, we all remember that last summer was hot girl summer, and then I thought, you probably shouldn't say that.
I think that was 2 summers ago.
See,
also.
There you go. I knew it.
It might have been 3 summers ago.
Ah, there's all the more reason not to say
last
it.
Last summer was Brat summer.
Okay.
Charlie XCX, yes. Her album Brats.
Yes,
was
yes.
A Brat summer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a few years ago, it was Hot Girl summer.
Okay.
This summer, I hope
it's overweight Mountain Dew summer.
Remember when Chet Hanks said it was going to be White Boy summer?
Yes, I do remember that.
Still holding out for that one.
Easy, yeah. Nepo baby.
That would be a big help if it was White Boy summer.
This one's really interesting. It's 90s kid summer.
Ooh, that's me.
So parents are allowing their 2025 kids to have a 90s kid summer. So bike riding, less parenting, drinking out of the hose, freeze tag at night. Ooh. So parents my age and a little younger are teaching their kids about our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're going to stop.
I knew he'd crap on it.
Well, no, I mean, I have a story here today that, like, parents are actively making their kids worse by doing too much for them. By like holding their hands on every single thing.
Oh, I believe that.
As an example, like when you go on vacation, more than half of the parents polled in this said they would not let their kid leave their kid alone in the hotel room while they go downstairs for breakfast. So the parents would not go downstairs to breakfast and leave their teenage child in the room. Half.
People are paranoid.
Like, this is what, this is kind of the, I find that, and now they're saying that they, the psychologists that are studying it, now they're saying, we're damaging these kids. These kids are now coming out, they're scared of everything, they have more anxiety than ever before because they've never dealt with the world, and you give them no freedom.
The really interesting thing to me, and we do this all the time, but my kids and most people my age, a lot of people my age, I can't say most, but intuitively, it seems to be a lot of people my age have raised softies because we were parented by such hard parents. Understandable. There's a backlash to everything. There's always a, well, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it this way.
Yeah.
As I've shared, my kids have both said that I was way too soft, that my grandkids will pay the price, that they'll go back to being more hard asses. But it's only one generation, right? I mean, mm-hmm. at some point, don't we have to find some kind of equilibrium? Because I doubt that there were any generations before this, and I don't know what it was like in the Gilded Age or Socrates, but I doubt there were many soft parents going backwards.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I think my generation's the first in mass to kind of go, but what if we just cuddled them all the time?
Yeah. And the crazy thing to me is, like, the polling done here, and it was done by the University of Michigan, it's about teenagers. It's not about how you treat an 8-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old. It's teenagers. Less than a third of parents of teenagers, according to this poll, would let their teen walk alone to a coffee shop while they're on vacation, like if it's near the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? Like, teenagers have a lot of wherewithal and resources if you don't stifle them. And then how are those kids going to handle, like, if, and again, this sounds like younger kids than what any of us are dealing with. But, like, if you're sheltered, how are you ready for anything that comes afterwards? Don't you need to be exposed to some things? I mean, I think about it, like, how old were you, Dave, the first time you were allowed to, like, be left home alone? 12?
Yeah.
10? Something?
Yeah, I was left alone when my mom and dad went to Vegas before I could drive.
Yeah.
So my sister looked in on me.
Sure.
Which didn't help. I was an idiot. And here, I remember this. I would eat cereal and I was so my parents were hard, but they weren't demanding. Does that make sense?
Getcha.
My dad did a lot of yelling, but he didn't do a lot of demanding.
Gotcha.
So I didn't really know how to do anything. And when I ate my cereal, I would just put the bowl on, I would put the bowl on the counter and just cover it with a paper towel. I don't know. Just rather than.
It just magically fixes after that, right?
Exactly. So my sister came over. I remember this. And there's like 6 bowls. And she's like, oh, for the love of God, just let's just wash these out. But yeah, I was left alone pretty early.
Yeah. Got the neighborhood. Why should you care if you're feeling good? We'll take the long way home. We'll take the long
way. Welcome back, guys. DGS 133. You can watch us, and it's exciting.
Oh.
Sometimes I stop rocking back and forth or stimming with my hands. Gets pretty nutty in here.
Yeah.
Wheeler doesn't take up the whole thing.
We're kind of opposites, too. Like, I just kind of like...
Oh, yeah. You hunker down.
Just sit here.
You hunker down.
Well, there's a lot to move, so I got to...
Andrew looks like he's in Jesus' tomb when the resurrection happened.
He's got the halo.
It just goes brighter and darker and brighter and darker.
At any moment, I could be abducted by aliens.
Once
based
again,
on...
Rach is the only normal one.
Mm-hmm.
She sits there. She handles her business. She looks good. I'm twirling around like a whirling dervish. Wheeler looks like the Thing from the Fantastic Four. Lauren has a great comment here about our discussion about kids and growing up. She says, my 12-year-old son wants to be free like the kids in Stranger Things, but all I can picture are Sean Hornback and Ben Ownby. That's all we do. Lauren, we were just talking about that on the break. It's interesting because my parents, if they left me alone, probably worried about me messing something up,
yeah,
breaking something, maybe getting a gash on my head, needing stitches at the ER. They didn't worry about me being sex trafficked. And as Rach was pointing out, that's what we worry about today. It's the ultimate fear. I don't worry that Phoebe's going to have a fender bender when she's driving, you know, back and forth from KU. I worry that it's a head-on crash. Like, we have somehow convinced ourselves that the absolute worst is sufficiently possible to worry about. I don't worry about a meteor hitting, right? So, but I worry about things I probably should not.
I think we all do, and it's because we're beaten over the head with it. Like, statistically, we know that kidnappings, if they happen, typically are from someone you know. Right? It's typically someone you know that did it.
Yeah.
Almost all of those crimes are about people in the family or around the family, somebody that knows the family. It's not just stranger danger, but that's scary, though. Right? Stranger danger is scary, but more likely, and I think statistically way more likely, that bad things are going to happen involving people that you trust.
You heard it here first, folks. You should be scared of everything.
No, I'm just saying that, like, it's hard.
There's no way to keep them safe.
There's no easy thing about this, because knowing that those things exist and having a child means that that thing is in your head. Of course it is. But then there's also the odds of one thing happening or another. And we do have to try to convince ourselves that the odds are real. I mean, nothing happened to any of us when we grew up with more freedom. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean nothing happened to anybody. It certainly happened to other kids. Like, this has been going on since the dawn of time. So it's clearly happened. But how many of us know somebody that was abducted or was involved in one of those things? I mean, we know about them because we've seen the coverage. We you know, there have been TV shows about JonBenet Ramsey. Obviously, Sean Hornbeck, Ben Ownby here are big stories. But it's not like that stuff's not happening one in every 100 kids. It's like one in every hundreds of thousands of kids. Your odds are much better that it will not happen. Mm-hmm. But again, you don't want to be the 1%, right? You don't want to be in that
and
family's shoes.
It's a sufficiently big fear that it has successfully beaten the odds. Because I'm a smart enough person to know the basics of the way mathematics works and odds, and I know it's probably not going to happen to my child, probably about the same chances of being in a plane crash, but the fear is so big, much like getting on a plane.
No, that's a great analogy. I mean, it's a similar idea.
Yeah.
Odds are it's not going to crash, but doesn't mean it's not going to be in your head.
Yeah. Andrew, speaking of travel, a little bit of a rough time this weekend.
Oh, it was a tough Thursday and Friday.
Well, you're a man about town. You're taking the train up to see boy bands and...
Yep, I went up to see Stray Kids at Wrigley Field, sold out at Wrigley Field. And let me tell you what, when everybody's trying to get on the CTA transit and everybody's going to the same place, boy, Boy, it is crowded. Have you been there before?
We walked right up to it, and it looked so crazy, we decided to just Uber.
The CTA. Yeah,
I wish we had backed up. Because there's no attendant going like, well, now there's too many people on here. It's just everybody, like, literally, like, kicking people closer together so that they can...
Yeah, it's fine.
...also squeeze on.
Wheeler says it's fine.
Oh, it's fine. I thought about how sick I got after I came back from that convention in February, and I just kept thinking about that, and I'm like, great, I'm going to get sick from one of these psychopaths I'm on this train with. But we got there, and it was fine.
What made them psychopaths?
Just because they're up there, and they're...
Like you.
They're strangers.
Yucky in my space. Yeah, they're strangers being all yucky in my space. but we did get back there, and it was very, very hot at Wrigley Field. There's no air conditioning at Wrigley Field, unfortunately. I asked. they said
they do air conditioning.
I asked if they could crank it on.
Stadium.
They wouldn't do it. And it was also extremely long, and there was so much screaming and screeching and screaming at the top of their lungs, and it was just a difficult experience overall.
Were you guys the oldest people there?
No.
What was the ratio of women to men?
Oh my God! Like
10 to 1, probably.
Yeah, maybe so. It was a lot of like. Husbands and dads.
Yeah.
Let me just say there was never a line for the men's restroom, and the line for the women's restroom stretched for like hours.
Yeah, you had that going for you.
I did have that going for me.
You can pee at will.
Did you get anything to eat at Wrigley? Were they selling concessions?
No, we like DoorDashed some McDonald's, which I then found out the McDonald's was like two doors down from the hotel. And I just didn't look. And they,
well,
so I felt pretty stupid about that. I could have just walked over there. But I was like, you know what? Once I get past it, all is fine, right? And so I did, and the next morning was fine. We went to Lou Malnati's and got some deep dish. I got my deep dish fix.
Nice.
That's the best, I think, deep dish is Malnati's. And then we went to the train station, and everything got a little more difficult because they started delaying our train by a bit. And then eventually they let us board the train. And as soon as we boarded the train and we're sitting there and getting comfortable, we noticed there's no lights on in the train. And there's also no air conditioning.
Oh.
And it's a totally sold-out train. So we're sitting on this train in the tunnel at Union Station. Very, very hot. Very packed in. There's no lights on, so we're sitting in the dark. And somebody gets on the intercom in the train and says, "Attention, all staff, do not let anybody board the train. Don't let anybody board the train. We are attaching the engine right now. Make sure nobody gets on the train." And so we're all kind of looking at each other like, should we get off the train? What are we supposed to do? But we ended up just staying on the train. And I think they just didn't let the rest of the people board. But all the rest of us were just sitting on there extremely hot and in the dark. And they announced on the loudspeaker that the toilets were broken, I guess because there was no power.
Ah.
Toilets broken, so nobody used the toilet. And everyone's like, "Oh, that's too bad. I have to go." Whatever. Well, somebody did go. They snuck on when no one was looking, and they left a big steamer in the toilet.
No,
that story went a different way.
And then they also stuffed. Apparently, they stuffed a dirty diaper on top of it, down also. So then the train stunk, and was also extremely hot. And was in the dark.
You should never be a travel agent.
And so that was about an hour and a half that we just sat there smelling somebody's, or several somebody's poop by the smell of it.
No, we...
in the sweltering 90-degree heat in the dark with no lights on. We did finally start moving on the train about 2.5 hours late. And then once we started moving, the air conditioning came on and the toilet started working again. And then, things settled down a bit. But
so it's all better.
Well, not necessarily, because then when you're behind on a train, they can't make every other train behind also, because that would totally screw up the whole nationwide train schedule. So what they have to do is you just have to wait constantly for other trains to go in front of you. And then you can, try and sneak past when there's no other trains using the tracks. So all in all, I was supposed to get home at 6, and I didn't get home until a little after 11. And I'm just sitting on this. You just kind of tell yourself, all right, I just live on this train now. I just live here. I'll get there when I get there. Nothing I can do about it. But they really... The other problem that was starting to, really upset other people on the train, I wasn't that upset about it, because, again, I was dead inside, is that the staff could not have been... I mean, it seemed like a pretty incompetent staff. They could have not been more concerned with getting people where you wanted to be quickly. Every station stop took, 20 minutes, which, if you've ever ridden a train before, they normally don't. They normally, you just stop, people get off, people get on, and then you take off again. And you're just standing there the whole time, and they would get on. When we were in, it was about 10:30, and so we're not too far from the Alton stop. And the lady gets on, the main attendant who had been going around, who didn't really seem like she had it all together. She got on, and she was like, "Okay, everybody, it's quiet time. It is now quiet time, so everybody has to be quiet. That's no talking or making any noise. It's quiet time." This is loud as hell on the loudspeaker. "It is quiet time." Actually, it's been quiet time for half an hour, but I didn't come on and tell you guys at 10 that a quiet time had started. But now it has been quiet time for half an hour. So no talking or making any noise. And it's quiet time until 6 a.m. So no talking. No, this is all real time. She's just going on and on and on about how it's quiet time and everybody has to be quiet. Then she hangs up. And then a few seconds later, we hear another click, and she goes, "Oh, also, I just wanted to say thank you, everybody, for your cooperation and your patience. Also, it's quiet time, so please don't make any noise, but thank you so much for your cooperation and your patience." About 5 seconds later, click. Also, I wanted to tell you guys that we're going to be coming up to our next stop soon. And other than that, just everybody just be quiet and don't make too much noise because people are trying to sleep. And like people started laughing when she came on for the third time because it's like it felt like a bit. It felt like, you know, it felt like a joke.
You're really making me want to drive a car to Chicago from now on.
Look, I the other five Amtraks I've had were great. This one was not. There's never been any reason.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. We'll just see my new watch.
Nice.
Show it to the people here.
Nice.
Sent me back $40.
Oh, my.
It's a digital watch from the 70s, and I had one just like this.
Really?
And there's a show called Omega Man, I think that's what it was called. Gemini Man.
Gemini Man, all right.
You remember that?
I do.
When he would turn invisible?
I don't remember seeing it, but yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had a watch like this, and he'd push it and turn invisible.
Can you do that?
Yeah, watch.
Wow.
Yeah, now I'm back.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Ow.
What'd you do?
I scratched my nose, and I scratched it a little too hard. The bridge of my nose. I was like, dang, did I just break skin?
I feel you.
It was just weird timing because Dave reappeared and Rachel's like, ouch.
It's a weird show so far. It's a weird show. I'm not going to lie to you. Random thoughts, since we're not going to start anything real till the top of the hour. Well, we're not going to start anything real till the top of the hour either. But
top of the hour is razor's edge.
I realized that Pete Hegseth is a victim. He is a victim of his own a-hole hair. You can't have hair like Pete Hegseth and not be an a-hole.
Huh.
Think it through.
Let me see.
You know anyone like that? You know anyone's got hair like that?
I know a couple of people.
Yeah, are they a-holes?
Not all of them.
Nah, but there's one of them, right?
Yeah.
He was born in 1980? I don't know. I'm like getting into my mid 30s, but I still think I'm like 22 in my brain. So then when people are like barely older than me and they're running the Pentagon, I'm like, that doesn't sound right. That feels wrong.
No, I get it.
Well, there is that kid that is running like the counterterrorism stuff,
he's
right?
He's 22.
He's like 20 and he looks like a total
nerd.
Not going to finish that.
A nice, kid.
Not going to finish my sentence.
Also, I was watching the Ken Burns baseball special, and it's just, you know, one amazing player after another. And then there's this guy from the 60s named Al Weiss who hit a home run. And the entire thing about him, they said, Al Weiss, comma, usually an easy out his entire career, comma. And I was like, damn, you did Al dirty.
Got him.
Like, on one hand, you make the Ken Burns baseball special. On the other, your whole thing is always known as an easy out. And then you think about it, like, there are just lives like that, where it's like, that's how they sum you up.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that, yes, it's true. And they're 1,000 to 100,000 times better than the average person at that task.
Yeah. Like me, 20 years now, someone will go like, Dave Glover Show, you ever hear it? Wasn't that guy that had a fear of everything? And that'll be it. That'll be it. You're like, yeah, that's the guy. You're clocking.
Refused to go up into the arch.
Refused to get on a friggin' Ferris wheel.
What is the problem with the wheel?
Height. And movement.
Do you typically get on any Ferris wheel?
No. I typically don't.
Okay. Just wondering.
Apparently.
In the many, many Ferris wheels you come across in your day-to-day life.
I've been on many Ferris wheels. I just have never enjoyed any of them.
Okay.
And like the height thing, I can be in the Hancock building or the Sears Tower. And, you know, like if you do one of those tip you over things, I'm going to freak. Mm-hmm. But I can be up there and not only not freak out, but enjoy it. It's the combination of height and movement.
Man, I just learned about the tip you over thing.
Yeah.
The other day. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's no good. No, thank you.
What's that?
It's one of those buildings.
It's the Willis, the tower, which is the old Sears Tower.
You did that.
You put your hand on a bar.
Yeah.
What's a CN tower?
That's the big tower in Toronto.
Oh.
Oh, Canada. Fancy.
The St. Louis wheel, though, and I'm not just saying it because it's ours and we love it. It's maybe the best of the Ferris wheels that I've been on in terms of, like, it doesn't, it's not
You're not, I'm not a heights back guy. And forth or anything.
Yeah, I'm not a heights guy either. But it's a very steady ride. It's a very smooth ride. The ventilation goes a long way. The heating and cooling and stuff.
Here's the thing with phobias. I don't care.
Sure.
Like I have been 300 feet in the air. Mm. I have been on Ferris wheels. I've been on the Screaming Eagle. I've done these things, and I did not enjoy them. And so when people like yourself, and I'm not mad at you, but when people like yourself try to tell me how like great it is, like, no, I've done it.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it.
Man, I rode the Screaming Eagle when I was probably like 7. And I remember thinking at the time, this thing is going to break as it's still going to this day, from what I understand.
Yes.
So 25 years later, however long,
this is. And it was rickety then.
Yeah, like, dude, proceed with caution, I guess, is all I want to say.
She gets it. Stowing away the time. Are you gathering?